Man, I'm so pumped that every single one of you decided to come to Shoreline tonight. I know there could be tons of other stuff that you could be doing, and you decided to come to fellowship, to worship, and to hear from God's word. I know there's a birthday in the room, Braden Brown. Today's his birthday. And he could have been, I don't know, playing whirly ball or something, but he decided to come to Shoreline and said, whirly ball is actually really fun. Anyways, so tonight we are on this topic called blind dating. And sorry, I have to introduce myself. If you don't know my name is Jermaine Harrison, and I get to serve on staff here with the high school ministry, and it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you. And so our topic for tonight is blind dating, how to date with your eyes wide open. And man, I'm so excited to share with you what I think God has laid on my heart. I think a good way for me to start this off is by sharing with you some of my past dating history in high school and in college. And so I know the girls are going to hate me after I share some of this, but hopefully there'll be redemption by the end of the message. Matt, when I was in high school, I dated a different girl every year of high school. Like there was, you know, every year there was a new girl. I dated one girl for like 3 weeks, and then there was one time I was dating a girl, and I was like, I don't like you anymore. I like that other girl. So I broke up with that girl, and then I went and dated the other girl, like literally right afterwards. I mean, stuff that is pretty sad, pretty bad. And so for your entertainment and my embarrassment, one other thing I'd love to share with you is that in my relationships, I don't know why this is true, but there's a lot of letter writing that happened. Like I wrote letters to girls and they wrote letters to me. This is like when we had those Nokia phones, so it wasn't iPhone, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever. And so I have one of those letters that a girl wrote to me. And then I have a response, I think, that I wrote to her or something. And I'd love to share parts of it with you, if that's okay. Are we down for that? Yeah, we're in. Up on the screen, I think you'll see, like, I mean, I'm sure you can't read it because it's pretty bad. Okay, this is my gosh. I cannot believe I'm actually going to read this. This is terrible and embarrassing. So this is what she wrote to me. I'll just read sections of it. She said, gosh, she said, no more anticipations for you to get home from work, or no more saving of food for you in the cafeteria, no more dungeon rendezvous, which I don't even know what that means, just distance and many memories. I have a lot of great memories to keep of you. First kiss, first fart, you on your knees begging to forgive me before we got back together. Babe, you are the bomb. I love you, and that's all we need to know. And just skipping down to the bottom, she says, we're going to keep her name secret just so if she ever listens to this message, she hopefully doesn't remember writing it either. So we'll just call her Keisha, because that's a girl that David Peniel dated in high school. So Keisha wrote this at the bottom of this letter. To my beloved, all God's blessings until we meet again. I love you. I adore you. I appreciate you. You are my friend, my babe, my sweetheart, my love for life. I'm not making this up. This is like a real thing that she wrote to me. And then this is something I think that I wrote to her. I said, I love you no matter what, girl. Tonight, I want to read the textbook together, study the verse for tomorrow together. No idea what I'm talking about. Do devotions together, chill and spend time together, grow in love together. Do you want to do all of the above? Question mark. Oh, so bad. What am I doing? So bad. And here's the deal. We can laugh about it years later, and it seems funny, and to a certain extent, it is. But in the moment, at that point in time, man, those were real emotions being expressed by me and by her. And I was leading her down a path where I was saying things I didn't mean, right? Where I was making promises I couldn't keep, and where I was doing things that I would later and eventually regret. And that's what I want you to think about. Man, it was like I was walking these girls. This is just one example of many, unfortunately. I was walking these girls, as it were, into a trap where I was making empty promises, saying empty things I didn't mean, and doing things I would later regret. And the reason I, you know, dated a different girl or broke up with one girl to go to the next, or any of the things that I did during my high school and college dating career, is because I was going into dating blind. Here's the truth. When you date blind, you say things you don't mean, you make promises you can't keep, and you do things you regret. I think that should be up on the screen so you can write that one down. When you date blind, you say things you don't mean, you make promises you can't keep, and do things you regret. And so tonight, I want to help you. I want to help you date with your eyes wide open. I want to help you come to the end of your high school career having not said empty words or made promises that you couldn't fulfill or done things that you will later on regret, like I have, and maybe even some of your small group leaders. And so whether you're dating right now or whether you've never been asked out on a date ever, this message is for you. Because I want to help you date with your eyes wide open. And so here's the kind of summary statement, the main idea I want you to walk away with from this message. It's this. God opens our eyes to dating in a way that glorifies Him and benefits us. God's word opens our eyes to dating in a way that glorifies Him and benefits us. And so we'll be looking at 3 points tonight: the purpose of dating, the path to being a great date, and thirdly, the plan for dating in high school. And so before we even jump into scripture and start seeing what God's word has to say on this topic, there are a couple disclaimers that I want to give. Because I know that in a room this size and on this specific topic, that there's some of you who are like, I don't even want to hear what the church has to say about dating. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. They think that we all don't know anything. And I just want to open up your heart and open up your mind to me and to God's word and what it has to say. So here are a couple things on the front end. Everybody likes to be liked, right? Everyone loves that feeling of knowing that there's this girl that's interested in me. Or everyone likes that feeling of knowing that there's that guy, he's over there, he's part of that friend group, and he's interested in me. Another one, the desires you have for a special, unique relationship with someone of the opposite sex is God-given. It isn't like some curse or some burden that you have to bear and walk through all of high school with. Those desires are God-given. They're a gift. If you're dating someone or if you like someone, is the next one, those emotions that you're feeling right now, they're real. Like when I read that letter and we laughed at it and we're like, oh, that's so dumb. Like in the moment, like I really thought that I meant those words, right? I really felt that way towards her and she really felt that way towards me. Another one, dating in high school is fun for the most part. It's fun to use all of your parents' money and go do some fun stuff and have lots of fun with your friends or go on dates with this girl or this guy. It's fun. There's not that much responsibility as if you were, you know, an adult. It's a fun time until, obviously, someone's heart gets broken. So it's fun for the most part. Here's another one. Some high school dating relationships actually work. Oh, yeah. We have someone clapping to that one. In this room right now, there are leaders that I know, couples that I know, that went through high school and they dated in high school and they dated through college and then they eventually got married. And so I want to put that out there that we're not blind or you know, numb to the reality that some actually work. But here's the reality, that some is a very, 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 very small percentage. And if you're dating in the room, man, this isn't a message from Watermark and from the student ministry telling you, hey, you need to break up, or we're mad at you that you're dating. This is not what this is. You may end up deciding to break up as a result of this message. Who knows? That's an option. So those are the disclaimers that I really feel like I wanted to share with you, because I want you to be open to what God's word has to say on this topic. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, or grab it on your phone, or it'll be up on the screen. We'll be looking at our first point for the night, the purpose of dating, and we'll see that through Genesis chapter 2. So to set the stage, you know, God had created the world and the mountains and the heavens and all the beauty all around, all the animals, and he had created man, Adam, but he had no helper, no partner for himself. So, verse 18 of Genesis chapter 2, hopefully you're there, or it's up on the screen, there you go, sweet. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. You know, so he looked at the giraffe and he was like, nah, too tall. Or he looked at the elephant and was like, nah, skin's too rough. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, verse 21. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." And that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And so we're talking about the purpose of dating. And what we just saw was the first ever wedding ceremony in history. Adam and Eve are standing before the God of the universe, and he is officiating their wedding, right? That's the point that we're trying to make as we look at the idea of the purpose of dating, is that it's to reach or to arrive at that moment that Adam and Eve were in, standing before the God of the universe. You know, Adam had it made, right? He just went to sleep. And when he woke up, God had brought to him, you know, the most perfect, the most beautiful woman to him, the most perfect suitable helper for him. He just opened his eyes and there she was. And he was like, sweet. And he didn't have to go on any dates, or he couldn't go on any dates because there's no one else to date. Duh, this is the beginning of the world. And so he wakes up and he gets married to his wife. The God of the universe officiates his wedding. Isn't that crazy to even think about? And so the scripture doesn't necessarily talk about dating. In fact, the word dating isn't even mentioned in your Bible, just so you know. But what we see in Genesis 18 is the purpose for which we date in, you know, our 20th century mindset. The purpose of dating is to get to that moment where you find the person that you will spend the rest of your life with. The purpose of dating is to find the person you will spend the rest of your life with. The purpose of dating is to find the person you will spend the rest of your life with. Dating is a new phenomenon, like I said. In the scope of history, the only people who even understand what dating even is are people born within the last 75 to 100 years. Like before that, no one knew what this thing called dating was. So like I said, the purpose of dating is to find the person you will spend the rest of your life with. So here's what I know about you high schoolers. Here's what I think I know. It's a hunch, but I think I'm pretty right. Most, if not all of you, when you date or if you date, do not date for that purpose in high school. There's no way you're sitting there looking across in your AP physics class, if you're in AP classes, and you're like, man, I would really like to spend the rest of my life with that guy, that 16-year-old sophomore. You're not. You're just not. You may even think in your mind, oh, for sure I am, Jermaine. I'm thinking about how my last name, how his last name would sound with my first name. I'm thinking about all the important stuff in life. You're not. You see, you may be emotionally ready to date, right? But not spiritually, not psychologically, because you're a teenager and you're not that smart. Or financially, you're not ready. Or practically, you're not ready. And unfortunately, there are many relationships in this room or in your schools or that you know of that people are dating for the wrong purposes. You know what those reasons are. I mean, they're super easy. Social pressure, right? Man, if everyone else in your friend group, if everyone else you know is dating a girl or dating a guy, like, why shouldn't you? If he likes you and he's cool and he's smart and he's on, you know, whatever, the soccer team, or if she's really cute or she's a cheerleader or she's really popular at school and she likes you, out of the 500 guys in the school, she likes you, why wouldn't you date her, right? That's what the social pressure or the expectation says. Man, dating is just a part of the high school, of your high school career. High school is terrible. It's the worst. You might as well have some fun dating while you go through it, right? Or maybe even some of you date for this last reason, to find validation. And what I mean by that is, man, because he or she is my girlfriend or boyfriend, that means that I'm more important to them than every other guy or than every other girl. And so I'm significant. I have purpose. I have meaning to my life. And that's why some of you have dated or are dating or want to date. And so here's the question that you have to wrestle with as we talk about this, the purpose of dating. Why do you want to date so badly? Why? Is it really to find the person that you're gonna pursue for the rest of your life? Or is it because it's just a fun thing to do in high school? You see, if your purpose isn't to date to find a person you will spend the rest of your life with, then you are dating blind. And you'll walk out of your high school career having said things you don't mean, having made promises you can't or won't keep, and haven't done things that you regret. And so what's the application then? The application is this. Wait to date until you can have long-term marriage-motivated intentions. That's the application. Wait to date until you can have long-term marriage-motivated intentions. If the purpose of dating is to find a person you're gonna spend the rest of your life with, you should wait until that time, that season in your life, when you can accomplish or fulfill that purpose. It just makes logical sense. This is not hard. You're in high school. And so let me help you out. Let me help you out with this application. How many of you have already had your homecoming, whatever you call it, dance, party, whatever that is? Yeah, there you go. How many of you are gonna have it in the next few weeks or months or so? There you go. There you go. All right, so everyone in the room, so listen to this. If your mom had to pay for your mom, you are not ready to date. And it makes sense, right? Here's what I mean. If you can't pay for your $100 mom, how are you going to pay for the things that are important in life when you're an adult and married, like rent, and car insurance, and taxes, and property tax, and insurance on every single thing, things that I don't even understand. Why are they taking my money? I don't even know. How are you gonna pay for all of this stuff, and you can't even pay for a mom? That's a really easy indicator that you're not ready to date, seriously. If your dad had to pay for your dress, you're still not ready to date. If your reason for wanting to date is because you feel lonely, you're not ready to date. If your reason for wanting to date is because everyone else in your friend group has a girlfriend or has a boyfriend, you're not ready to date. If your reason for wanting to date is because you find satisfaction in knowing that someone else likes you more than they like anyone else, man, honestly, you're just not ready to date. So, if the purpose of dating is to find the person you'll spend the rest of your life with, then you should wait to date until you can have those long-term marriage-motivated intentions. I can hear some of you arguing with me in your mind because you can't argue with me out loud. And you're saying, so if you're telling me to wait to date, I get that. I see the purpose of dating like you showed me from, you know, Adam and Eve. How will I ever even learn how to date, right? Shouldn't I practice a little bit in high school and get the kinks out so that when I get to college or when I get after college that I actually know what I'm doing in dating? No. You shouldn't, because dating isn't some game that you play, that you practice a couple of times on until you get good at it. You're dealing with human beings. Our friend, high school director David Peniel, dated a girl, like I said, named Keisha in high school, and his reasoning was exactly what I just said. Before I go off to college, I need to learn how to date and not be a nerd. And so he dated this girl named Keisha, and it ended terribly. And you can ask him about that story. You can also ask him about Amy, is it? And then Kelly from Amarillo. Yes, ask him for sure about Kelly from Amarillo. That one's, like, that's her last name in the stories. It's not her actual last name. It's from Amarillo. You should ask him about those stories. So how do you then prepare to be a great date then? If I'm telling you to wait until you can fulfill those marriage-motivated intentions, what do you do now? And so my second point is this, the path to being a great date at some point in the future. So if the goal of dating is to figure out who you'll marry, and here's the truth, here's the reality. In our world, among Christians and non-Christians alike, 50%, half probably, of all marriages end in divorce. Here's what's true. Some of you in the room have been uniquely affected by that, right? You know friends that whose parents are divorced or your parents are divorced. But here's the thing. No one ever plans to get a divorce. When people are standing up on their wedding day at the altar, making those promises to each other, here's what they're not thinking in their minds. Man, I can't wait for the day when I wake up and walk away from all the promises I made to this person. No one's thinking that. So if no one's thinking that, how come it happens almost half of the time? Because people at some point stopped following the path to being a great date. Or maybe they were never on the path in the first place. Here's another truth. People that will never get a divorce, these people have a 100% success rate in marriage, are people that have been well married to Christ as single individuals. It's not original with me. I stole it from our senior pastor, Todd Wagner. He says it all the time, you know, at his weddings that he officiates. He says this, hey, here's why this marriage is going to work. Here's why it's going to have a 100% success rate. Because these two individuals, if they're followers of Jesus, they have been well married as individuals to Christ. And so together, they're going to continue pursuing the Lord and pursuing making his name famous across the earth. And as you hear that, you say, man, that's awesome. I want that. I would love for that to be true of me at some point when I get married, right? And so let me show you scripture that kind of helps us with that, that shows us the path to being a great date. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. You've probably read it, heard a message on it before, and so this is a familiar passage. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. It says this, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. But get this, whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And so Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, paints this picture of this person who isn't going after every temptation that the world has to offer. It paints this imagery of them being like a tree planted by a river where they're continuing to be sustained and where they're continuing to grow and produce fruit, and whatever they're doing prospers. And it gives you the secret. It gives you the secret in verse 2. It says the way that they do that, the way that you could be a great date in the future is by doing what verse 2 says. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord, God's word, and who meditates on it day and night. And so here's the answer to what's the path? What's the path to being a great date? It's this: focus on becoming the right person, not finding the right person. Focus on becoming the right person, not finding the right person. And so as you hear Psalm 1 and I talk about this person that is fruitful, this person that is doing amazing things for God on this earth, and you say, man, I would love to be that person, or I'd love to be married to that person, God's word tells you that this world may be telling you, man, date as many people as you can, figure it out. At some point, you'll meet someone that's well-connected with you and you have similar interests and blah, blah, blah. But God's word says that what's important is if that person has meditated and delighted on God's word. And so the best way to become a good husband or a good wife isn't to date, isn't to go on dates. The best way to become a good husband or a good wife is to pursue the Lord. And that may sound cheesy or whatever, but it's reality. A marriage that lasts is one that is built on Christ. And here's what's true from my personal experience. Your dating choices now in high school when you're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, the choices that you're making in dating right now are gonna affect your future dating relationships. I'm telling you, ask your small group leaders. Ask them about their dating relationships if they dated in high school. And I'm telling you that there's some things that they probably are working through now as they are dating or as they're married and all of this stuff. Because of the mistakes, the empty words, the empty promises, and the regrets in high school. And so one thing, if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend that is pushing you, pushing the boundaries morally or physically, here's why they're doing that. Let me tell you why. Because they do not fear God. If you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend who's pushing you to go physically where you know you shouldn't go, the reason that they're doing that is that Psalm 1, 1 through 3 is not true of them. But instead, Psalm 1, 4 through 6 is true of them. And they should go read it. And maybe you should too. See, when you decide to date, you're deciding to give your heart over into the care of another person, right? And the reality is that some people are more careful than others. And the people that are more careful are the ones that have spent time on a daily basis devoting to pursuing their relationship with God, not the ones that are pursuing looking the right way or being in the right friend group. The ones that are pursuing the Lord are the ones that are careful. And so another way of saying the answer to this question of saying focus on becoming the right person, not finding the right person, is this: be the person you're looking for is looking for. A pastor that I love to listen to, I love to listen to all of his sermons. It sounds confusing, and after you hear it again, it makes sense, and hopefully you'll remember it. Be the person, got that part? The person you're looking for is looking for. And so what that's saying is focus on you. It's focus on becoming the right person. That's all that you can do. And that's what God calls you to do. He doesn't call you to go and find and date as many people as possible. He calls you to a relationship with him. And man, here's the deal. When I was in high school, when I was younger, I did not focus on that at all. I was too busy focusing on finding the right person, and I was not paying attention to becoming the right person. And I left a mess in the wake of my high school years. And since then, I've had to go back and clean up some of those messes. And so about a year and a half ago, I think, I wrote some letters of asking forgiveness of some girls that I dated in the past. And I wanted to read one of them to you just to give you a glimpse into what happens or what you may have to ask forgiveness for in the future if you don't focus on becoming the right person. So I say this is a real thing, didn't make it up. You're probably wondering what drove me to reach out to you, and the short answer to that question is to ask for your forgiveness. Way back in 2005 and 2006, we were interested in each other and dated for a while. Our relationship did not end well, as you remember, and there was conflict off and on long after our relationship ended. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Where there's strife, there's pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice." I want to confess to you the pride that was present in my own heart and ask you to forgive me for being selfish and argumentative. But more importantly, I want to ask you your forgiveness for not leading with integrity and purity in our relationship. I confess to you that I let my flesh dictate what we talked about and did at times. And so would you forgive me for not being the kind of leader in a relationship that God calls me to be? I wrote that and sent that to a girl that I dated, and not just one. At this point in time, I sent it to three different individuals because I'd made a mess. And I was focused on becoming the right person in that moment, and what was required of me was to go back and clean up that mess. And so the message to you, man, I'm trying to communicate things to you that you may not have experienced, and so you're like, nah, that's not going to happen to me. I'm telling you, it can. And if you don't focus on becoming the right person, it will. And so the application on this point is this. Spend your energy developing your relationship with the Lord. Spend your energy developing your relationship with the Lord. Not on looking good, not on being in the right group of friends, not on getting that date that you've dreamed of. Spend your energy developing your relationship with the Lord. And so, moving on to our final point of the evening, maybe some of you are saying, man, I get that. I hear and understand the purpose of dating is to find a person I'll spend the rest of my life with. I understand that the path to that is by becoming the right person and not finding the right person. But what if I legitimately, like this girl? Or what if I legitimately that guy? What do I do with those emotions and feelings while I wait until the future, when it's appropriate to date? So here we go. The plan for dating in high school. The plan for dating in high school. It's really easy. It's a really easy verse. It's self-explanatory. 1 Timothy chapter 5, the second part of verse 1 going into verse 2 is the plan for dating in high school. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. So it says this, treat younger men, that is girls, treat all the young men in this room and young men that you know as brothers, older women as mothers, and young women, guys, every girl in this room and every girl that you know, treat them as sisters with absolute purity. And not only as brothers or sisters, but if they claim to be a follower of Jesus, you also have another responsibility to treat them as a chosen child of God with the dignity and honor and value and respect that should be given to them. And so the first part of the plan for dating in high school is this: to develop healthy relationships. Develop healthy friendships. I've been told many a time by David this phrase. He says this all the time. The best foundation for a great marriage is a great friendship. And so I'm not married, and so I believe him because he's been married for 11? He doesn't even know. One of those amounts of years. And he says it all the time. The best foundation for a great marriage is a great friendship. Because the things that you like, you know, that maybe they're pretty or they're attractive or their personality or different things like that, here's what happens. Oh, he also has another saying. He says this, bodies deteriorate, but persons develop, right? So bodies, they get old and wrinkly. Like, here's the truth. You're going to be old and wrinkly someday if you continue to live. It's just a fact of life. So get over it and get used to it. And so he says, if that's true, if those things that we try to cling on to and hold on to, if they are going to be gone at some point in time, what's going to be left? And so that's why the encouragement or the challenge is to develop healthy friendships. Because one day, here's who you want to marry. Someone that is your friend. It makes sense, right? And so not those friendships where you constantly are flirting and Snapchatting. I think it's called a thing. Is that the right thing? There you go. Not those a thing friendships. I'm talking about healthy boundaries where you are developing friendships with people of the opposite gender. That's what I think Paul is encouraging Timothy to do and us to do. Treat younger men as brothers, girls, and treat younger women as sisters, guys. The second part of the plan, and we're winding down, is this. Remember that you have a good, good father. Remember that you have a good, good father. I know that even as I say that or as I read that, there's some of you in the room that are saying, man, you don't know my dad. I don't know what it even means to have a good father because I have never seen it. My dad, my earthly dad, is not good. And here's what you need to know about our good, good father, the God in heaven. He's not a reflection of your earthly father. He is the perfection of your earthly father. Everything that your dad is supposed to be, every grace and kindness that he's supposed to give to you but has failed to do because of his brokenness and because of his sin, here's what's true of the God of the universe. He perfects it. He can be trusted. And so he says this in Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Right? Or which of you, if your son asks for fish, will give him a serpent? And the obvious answer is no one. No dad's like, here you go, son, you asked for bread, here's a rock. It makes no sense. Exactly. And that's what he's saying. If we, being evil, know how to take care of our children, if we had children, how much more so our heavenly father, our good, good father, how much more so will he give good gifts to his children, those who follow him, if they ask of him? And so the world says date as many people as you can, and hopefully you'll find the one. But God says, wait for me. He says, hey, maybe you may be an awesome husband or an awesome wife or an awesome dad or an awesome mom in the future, or maybe you'll be single for a long time and I'll give you the gift of singleness. But here's what, it's true, you're gonna be a discipler of people in whatever gift I give you. No matter what, the gift that God gives you is gonna be good. I'm living that part exactly right now, right? I'm single, not dating anyone, although a wife would be sweet. But I am accomplishing God's purpose for my life right now as he's given me that gift of singleness. God says, man, you're not missing out. You don't have to say, man, I need to wrap him up right now or wrap her up right now, because who knows what will happen in a month. Maybe he'll start liking another girl, or maybe she'll start liking another guy, and I need to make sure I start dating him right now. No, you don't have to do that. You have a good father who gives you good gifts in his good timing. You can trust him. That's part of the plan for dating in high school. And the last one is this. Remember Jesus' example of faithful pursuit and faithful waiting. And so in our 2016 understanding of dating, right, the guy is the person that pursues the girl. The guy, you know, initiates the relationship or asks the girl out. And so he is the one that's pursuing, right? And the girls in the context of dating as we know it are waiting for the guys to initiate those relationships. And here's what's true. Jesus' example is one that is a perfect example of both of those. So imagine this. The God of the universe looks down and sees your brokenness, sees your pain, sees your sin, and he says, here's what I'm going to do. I have an awesome, awesome plan. I am going to send my son. The God of the universe says, I'm going to send my son to earth to die on the cross for their sins, and so that he can raise again on the third day and offer eternal life to every and anyone who chooses to trust and accept his work on the cross. If that isn't faithful pursuit, I don't know what is. The God of the universe became a human being. He was 100% God and 100% man at the same time because he wanted to pursue you. But here's the other side of this that we probably don't think about as much. Jesus, the Son of God, was a baby. He was zero. He was 1 month old. He was a six-year-old. He was a 13-year-old. He was an 18-year-old. He was 25. And tradition has it that Jesus died on the cross when he was about 33 years old. So think of that. He came to this earth to complete this mission of dying on the cross and raising again from the dead for your sins, and then he has to sit back and wait for 33 years. But you know what's cool? You know how Jesus models faithful waiting, girls? He doesn't just sit there. He wasn't sitting there and like marking off the days on the calendar until he was 33 and like, oh, it's time to go to the cross. That's not what he did, right? He was a faithful son. He was a faithful brother. He was a faithful carpenter. He worked with his dad. He made disciples. He encouraged people to walk in relationship with God. While he was waiting, he was working. He was serving. And so he gives us that model of faithful waiting. And so, girls, when we tell you to wait to date, we're not telling you to just sit, you know, on a dock at the lake and just wait for some random dude to come start playing a guitar song next to you and ask you on a date. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being on mission for Christ every single day. And so Jesus models faithful pursuit and faithful waiting for us. And so just in summary, just to summarize this, we talked about this idea that when you date blind, you say things you don't mean, you make promises you can't keep, and you do things you regret. And we talked about the idea that God's word opens our eyes to dating in a way that glorifies him and benefits us. Gio's doing something for me, which is the end of our message tonight. We talked about the purpose of dating, as you can see up on the screen if you somehow missed that point. We talked about the path to being a great date. And we talked about the plan for dating in high school. You know, developing those healthy relationships, remembering your good father, and following Christ's example of faithful waiting and pursuit. And so to close us out, I'd love to call Landry Wagner up to the stage. You heard her share her testimony just a little bit earlier. And I'd love for her to come up and kind of illustrate our ending point. So Gio is at the moment setting some actual bear traps that you use to trap an actual bear. And then we're gonna rock something afterwards. All right, let me blindfold Landry here real quick. Let's do this. You ready? Sweet. So what we're going to do is pretty easy. Landry is going to, wow, watch it, dude. It actually will take your fingers off. It almost happened to David before this. So Landry, you're just going to follow my instruction, and I'm going to kind of help you walk through all of these bear traps without your foot being actually trapped in one of them. So take 3 steps forward, just straight steps. There you go, there you go. You got it, you got it. Take a step to your right. Yep, that's safe, safe from the bear traps. All right, take 4 steps forward. 1, 2, 3. Keep going, you're fine, you're fine. 4, all right, keep going, 1 more. Stop right there because there's actually a bear trap right in front of you. Take 1 step to your right. Other leg. All right. Take 2 steps forward. You got this. You got this. No bear trap's going to get those legs. Come on. Perfect. Let's stand right here. All right. We can take the whatever you call this thing off. So here's why I did that. Here's why I did that. It's obvious to you if you've been listening to at all to this message, right? Landry was blindfolded. She couldn't see. She didn't know where she was going. And her only way of walking safely through all these bear traps on stage was by listening to my voice, right? And in high school, here's the deal. As you walk through those 4 years of high school, in the context of dating, honestly, there are tons of bear traps waiting to snap at your legs. Whether it's a broken heart, whether it's a dude being an idiot, whether it's you finding your satisfaction and meaning in a dating relationship. There's tons of bear traps all around. And God's word gives us the remedy. God's word gives us the direction that we need, right? It would have been foolish of Landry to be like, nah, I'm not listening to you. I'm just going to walk however I want to walk. And then her leg is like taken off, right? And in the same way, God's word has something to say to us about the purpose of dating, the path to being a great date, and the plan for dating in high school. And your responsibility is to listen to it. So here's what's really cool. The reason why I really call her up here wasn't to do that bear trap trick, but to say and to encourage her that, man, here's what she's doing tonight. She is following, or she is living out the second point of this message, which is focused on becoming the right person, not trying to find the right person, right? Here's what Landry's going to do right after Shoreline. She's going to go out to that pond, and she's going to say, I want to identify with Christ. I want to identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. I want everyone in here to know that I am committing to becoming the right person. Because at the end of the day, that is what God calls not just high schoolers, but every single one of us to do. He calls us to seek him in his word day and night and to delight in it and to meditate on it. And she is going to live that out tonight as she takes that step of faith, that outward expression of her inward faith, which is baptism. And so you've heard tonight and you've seen an example of someone who is actually applying right now in the next 2 minutes, and you're welcome to join us around the pond and see her take that step of faith. So you've been given the purpose of dating, you've been given the plan, you've been given the path, and you've been given the plan. And my prayer, my genuine prayer, is that you will take something that was said tonight and apply it to your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these high school students, and thank you for the opportunity that we had to fellowship together, to sing songs of worship to you, and to hear truth from your word. Thank you for the example that my friend Landry Wagner is of someone that's following the path to being a great date in the future. Thank you for the fact that at some point she may be an awesome wife or an awesome mom, or you may continue to give her the gift of singleness and she'll be a great discipler of people. Lord, thank you that she's preparing to do that in the future right now, because it starts today. I pray that every single one of us in the room would understand that it starts today. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.